Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. It's 3 minutes after the hour, Friday, May 14th, 2021. Are you already planning a mask burning party at your house? This morning, many of you are celebrating a return to life without masks. Will you go to church today or this weekend without wearing your mask? We'll take your calls about that in the next 15 minutes. Also, coming up next, find out the prayer one bishop learned when he was confirmed more than 30 years ago. It's a prayer he said every day of his life from that very moment he received the gifts of the Holy Spirit and confirmation. Learn that prayer coming up. Plus, a fresh Glenn Story Corner. We'll be in the Adoration Chapel taking your prayer intentions with us before the Lord today. And that's coming up in this hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. But we started this new day, of course, in prayer and invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 4 minutes after the hour now on Morning Air. Come, O Most Holy Spirit, come. That simple and very powerful prayer to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through the next task, through the next day. How did the Holy Spirit guide you? Right now, find out how the power of the Holy Spirit in one moment, in one bishop's life, that goes back to the time that he was confirmed. We pray, come, O Most Holy Spirit, come right now and say good morning to Bishop Bill Walk, the Bishop of the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, Florida. Your Excellency, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Yes, come Holy Spirit.
It's a very powerful prayer. And you've heard me say that the Holy Spirit is my best friend. I've literally heard the voice of the Holy Spirit who took me on completely different paths than the one I had planned. And that was really a gift of trust and one that I still have to work on every single day, Bishop Walk.
Right. And I think all of us do, you know, that the trusting in God and letting God lead us, that's so hard for us. We like to think that, you know, I think it's nice. We think, okay, yes, of course, God is with me. He's my good shepherd. He's guiding me. But when it comes down to it, I shouldn't presume, but I know a lot, I do this a lot of times, and many other people, is we may go about it the wrong way. We make up our minds as to what we should do. This is the path I want to take. And then, it's funny, then I say, okay, now, Holy Spirit, please help me to do what I just agreed to do. Instead of starting with, Holy Spirit, please guide me. My life is an open book now, you know, a blank page. Please tell me what to do and then help me to do it. I think a lot of us would do well to start with the Holy Spirit. Not a lot of us, all of us, start with the Holy Spirit and ask, guide me, tell me what to do.
Bishop Walk, as we really focus on the Spirit more coming up here toward Pentecost. So many grow up with an idea of God up on the throne in heaven. And well, Jesus, we can picture, right? We learn he walked amongst us. And the Holy Spirit is harder to kind of get a handle on. What's one of the best ways that you know to help us, and, you know, even starting with young people, to realize what the Spirit is?
Well, you know, we all go through different phases in our life where all of a sudden, you know, wow, this image really speaks to me, or this metaphor or something like that. And for me, you know, a long time it was, you know, kind of as the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, the Holy Trinity is revealed to us, not all at once, but over time. We knew God as creator. Then when Jesus came, he said, God is Father and I am the Son, and we will send the Holy Spirit. And so that kind of helps me to understand it wasn't, of course, that the Holy Spirit or Jesus, you know, just came about at the incarnation, but they always existed. They were revealed to us over time. But I think right now in my life, that I just reread that part on the Holy Spirit in the Catechism, and it really emphasizes that the Holy Spirit, of course, is inseparable with the Father and the Son, but it's the Son and the breath of God, the Spirit, are sent at once. So that kind of helps me to understand what is the Spirit. It's not this separate thing that animates Jesus. It is his voice. It is his action. That's the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if that's easier for some people to image, but for me, it's It's instead of separating it out, trying to make sense of it, I see Jesus, I hear him in the gospel, and I see the Holy Spirit at work in him and hear the Holy Spirit in his words.
Our simple prayer, come, O most Holy Spirit, come as we prepare for Pentecost. And then Bishop Walk was talking about Trinity the following Sunday. Sunday, May 30th, is a Trinity Sunday as well in our conversation here on Morning Air. I know this is confirmation season and you'll confirm, or maybe you have confirmed, some young adults. How do you keep those young adults always mindful to tap the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Bishop Walk?
It is confirmation season. I just celebrated another one last night. I got in late because I drive all around the Florida panhandle doing that. It is a great joy. I love it. And I try to really, you get 10 minutes or so to really fire these young people up and everything. And I have a lot of energy. So I go out there in front of them and I talk about how the goal of our life is really to be like Jesus, to emulate him, to become one with him so that we can live with him and all the saints in heaven. And then I stop and I look at them and I say, how in the world can we humans, we mortals, we sinners do that? Pause. And then I say, the Holy Spirit. God knows we can't do it. So he helps us to do that through his Holy Spirit. He guides us. He brings us closer to his son so that we will be one with him one day in heaven. And so I just try to build that up. And it's not just some extra thing they're getting today. It's not, completing initiation. This is God's gift to you to help you to become more like his son so that you are one with the Father and thus are, experience salvation and redemption and eternal life. So yeah, it's sometimes, when you're at confirmation, you see the kids, the young people looking at you and, okay, what are you going to give me? So I really try to fire them up with that. And it's not just to fire them up, but all of us. To remind all of us that this is God's gift to us to help us to receive the gifts of the Lord, that is salvation, redemption, eternal life.
Bishop Walk, in our Catholic walk, there are many things that we can do, and we can maybe get caught up in just us doing our work, but can we really learn to depend and gain more confidence in the fact the Spirit is there with us, and it's not all up to us?
I think, yeah, not only can we do that, we have to get to the point where we put God first in all things, and that is by calling to mind the Holy Spirit, or not just calling to mind, but calling on the Holy Spirit, asking, help me to know what to do, give me the strength and the courage to do it. One thing that really helps is, I mentioned before, reading about the Holy Spirit in the Catechism, or in the lives of the saints or the early church fathers. That stirs things up in us, I think. It kind of helps us to rid ourselves of any false notions of the Holy Spirit. And by that, I mean, there's a lot of, nice stories, I think, modern examples of the Holy Spirit, little dove floating over us or something like that. And that's great. But this is the presence of God, the anointing of God on all of us to help us to become more and more like his son, to help us to understand what his son teaches us, and to help us to pray, to call God Father. I mean, this is powerful. So just even reflecting on it, learning more about it, reading about the Holy Spirit and the Catechism and the lives of the saints really reminds us that this is not anything ancillary to our life. This is God's gift to us to help us to become more and more like God.
Unpacking the power of the Holy Spirit this morning on Morning Air with Bishop Bill Walk, who's the Bishop of the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, Florida. Bishop Walk, you were saying that prayer to the Holy Spirit, before you do something, tell me what to do, give me strength, the courage to do it, guide me. We're not asking the Holy Spirit to be a puppet master, but in essence, we're saying, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to put your gifts of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord to work.
Right, actually, yes. And Jesus is the one who said, after giving the Holy Spirit, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. Whoever does the will of my Father, will receive what he asks for. So it's not something we made up or we just think, I need help, so I'm going to call on God. We are following Jesus' command and asking. And we're not just asking for our will, but especially asking for God's will. How do we do that? We do that by calling upon the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned that prayer, just that simple prayer, Holy Spirit, teach me to know what to do today and give me the courage to do it. That was preached at my confirmation, I don't know how many years ago.
Wow.
30, 40 years ago. I don't remember anything else But I remember that. I remember the bishop said, he said exactly that. You're not going to remember anything about this day except, you know, maybe that you came up here and that you were anointed and all that. But he said, but what I want to tell you is that my favorite prayer, and you can say it every day, Holy Spirit, teach me to know what to do today and give me the strength to do it. And 40 years later, I remember it, and now I'm passing that on as a bishop to the newly confirmed.
Bishop Walk, in prayer, can we learn that in the silence of our relationship with God, that the Spirit can be very active indeed?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's great. And that's something that I don't struggle with, but you can tell probably that I like to talk. I'm an extrovert, but I need, especially, we all need to slow down, to be quiet and listen to the voice of God. And it's not just, I don't just mean be silent in a room without anything, though that's very important. I mean silence all those thoughts in our minds about what I think needs to be done, what I want God to do. You know, just to instead to pray and ask, God, what do you want of me? And it's not something that comes instantaneously, of course, but it comes through a life of prayer. It comes after practice, after doing this for a long time. You know, I think of the great saints and the mystics, John of the Cross or Teresa of Avila. I think of Mary, our mother, our Blessed Mother, who, you know, must have spent so much time in prayer and contemplation and then was anointed. And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, she said, when she conceived of Jesus. And the fruit of that is, the fruit of prayer is hearing God's voice is that direction that we all need.
Bishop Walk, we're bombarded with so many messages. A number of those are messages that we just create for ourselves in a 24/7 connected society. How can we fine-tune our spiritual ears to hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit, to not only recognize the whispers, but also pay attention to when he's shouting at us, too?
I think there are a couple of things we should do. One is, of course, praying, just like we were just talking about, praying alone, asking God for that insight. Also, recalling the past, recalling how God has been with us in the past. I like to tell people this, that, you know, it's hard to hear God's voice now or see how God is active in your life now, in this decision, in this moment. But look in the past. Look 10 years ago, 20 years ago, if you're that old enough to do that, and you can see where you might have struggled. Is this the person I should marry? Should I go to this school? Should I really move to this place and take this job? You agonized, no doubt. It was a time of uncertainty, maybe even grief and anxiety. But in the end, it worked out. This is where you are now. God has led you to this point. And so if that's true in the past, it's true now. God is with you, so trust. And then another element, the key element, is to find a trusted person, not just a friend who will tell you what you want to hear, but maybe a spiritual director or a counselor, a priest, a religious, if possible, somebody who's a prayerful person who can help you to discern as well. You can say, this is what I think, I believe in my prayer God is saying to me. What do you think? Does this make sense in my life and what you know about me?
Bishop Walk, growing up Lutheran, kind of had the, standard Catholic view of the Spirit pretty much. But in working in Protestant Christian radio before Relevant Radio was invented, bumped into a lot of Assembly of God folks who had that very much charismatic experience with the Spirit. And then I learned that, there are some Catholics that have that experience as well. Any thoughts on that?
You know, I did not grow up in the charismatic tradition. And when I first came across it, when I was campus minister, I didn't really know what to do, and I thought just that. I thought, whoa, this is Pentecostal or something. This is Assembly of God. This isn't Catholic. But I appreciate it more and more. We have some of our best priests here, and we have so many great priests in this diocese, but some of our best priests, you know, at a meeting, if someone says, well, let's, of course, open with a prayer, many of these priests will just say, you know, come Holy Spirit, speak to us. And then they launch into the prayer, you know. And it's just a reminder to me that I need to do that. Maybe not, if I don't say it out loud, just Holy Spirit, spend a few moments instead of, you know, hey, would you say a prayer? Okay, good. God, help us. You know, just spend a few moments saying, all right, Holy Spirit, we're open to you. Speak to us now. Come into our hearts. Come into this meeting. Come into our decisions, our lives. And maybe that's your prayer, but that could also be an introduction to your prayer or whatever else you're going to do at that moment, going into a meeting or making a decision or doing some work, something like that.
Bishop Walker, were the whispers of the Holy Spirit what led you to the priesthood, or was it a shout from the Holy Spirit?
I trace it back. I was trying to think of this recently because people asked me to tell my story, and I tell the normal story about how it happened, and I went to the vocation director and did all this. But I'm trying to go back just now and say, when was it? What was the first moment or the first inklings? And I believe it was through the rosary. You know, I mentioned before that I prayed every day. My parents gathered us every day to pray the rosary every evening, all 10 of us children. And I remember distinctly there was one evening when we were praying the rosary when I didn't hear a voice or anything like that. But I was absolutely overwhelmed, and maybe I was in fourth grade or something, but with just this sense that this is reality. What we're doing here, what we're praying together with my family, praying the rosary, I just felt so, I don't know how to say it, but just on fire with God and with everything that we were praying about and we had entered into this. And I didn't know at that point that I was going to be a priest, but I knew I was going to do something with my life. That was a response to what God wanted of me. I was probably too young to say, whatever you want, I'll do it. But that was the attitude that I had then.
Bishop Walker, scripture even talks about the Holy Spirit interceding for us, you know, with words, with sighs deeper than words and things like that. In terms of thinking of, you know, who we want maybe to help us with intercession, sometimes it might be one saint or another saint going directly to the Father, directly to Jesus, and the Spirit in the mix. Any advice on praying and asking for intercession?
That's interesting. I love that scripture passage that says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, teaches us to pray in groans or sighs, or because it says we do not have the words, we do not know how to address God. And so just, again, I'll get to the same in a second, but that it's just fascinating if you think about it. It's what I told you that I tell the young people, and that is that how do we know how to pray? How do we know that God is Father? That how do we know anything about the Trinity? It's because of the Holy Spirit. It's because God has revealed that to us. And so to trust that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, to know God's will, etc. As far as the saints go, I just think of, again, as I said, probably the mystical saints, those who spent so much time in prayer and were famous for it, Catherine of Siena, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, etc. And that's not to say that those who were involved in active apostolates, Ignatius of Loyola and others, did not do that. But those, it's the mystical saints, I think, the mystics that really inspire me in terms of prayer and listening to God and reflecting on God's presence in their life and in the life of the world.
That powerful prayer, come, O most Holy Spirit, come. And tell us one more time, because I know we'll get a lot of email wanting to hear that prayer that you remember the bishop telling you when you were confirmed.
Holy Spirit, teach me to know what to do today and give me the strength to do it.
And there it is. And we're also collecting confirmation names. What was your confirmation name?
I chose the name James. My father is Jim, so I chose James.
That's great. That's beautiful. Bishop Bill Walk is a member of our spiritual family here on Relevant Radio. He is the Bishop of the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, Florida. Bishop Walk, may we have your blessing this morning, please?
Absolutely. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless us today and always help know what to do and give us the strength to do it. Lord God, I ask you to bless your people, bless all your children, those who are listening, and through us, bless our family members and our friends, particularly those who struggle, who are discerning, for those who are searching for your voice and your will. Send your Holy Spirit upon them. Confirm your presence in them. Conform them more fully to Christ your Son. Bless us all so that we may not only recognize the Holy Spirit, but that through the Holy Spirit, we may know and love and serve your Son, Jesus Christ, more and more. We make our prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Bishop Bill Walk from the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee. Look forward to our next conversation. Thanks, Bishop Walk. May the Holy Spirit continue to guide you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop Walk. 22 after now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And the other big story today, the masks. no more masks. This morning, you may be celebrating a return to life without masks. The new CDC guidelines say if you're fully vaccinated, you can now safely participate in most indoor and outdoor activities without wearing a face covering or social distancing. Dr. Rochelle Walensky from the Centers for Disease Control.
Once you are fully vaccinated, 2 weeks after your last dose, you can shed your mask.
There you go. There are some exceptions, and masks are required still on buses and trains if you go on a plane, maybe in a hospital as well to visit. And experts made the decision after some new data suggests that fully vaccinated people are unlikely, Glenn, to transmit the virus to others, and that the vaccines do protect, all the vaccines do protect against the many variants. Former acting CDC director Dr. Richard Besser was on ABC last night, and he says this is the right moment to make the announcement.
Given where we are right now, there we're getting into the warmer season, more outdoor activity. The numbers are going down. The number of people in hospitals is going down. The number of people dying, thankfully, is going way, way down. I think it's the right time to make this change.
And President Biden's reaction.
You've earned the right to do something that Americans are known for all around the world. Greeting others with a smile. With a smile.
Yeah, and that's probably going to be the best part, Glenn, right? Greeting others with a smile. 888-914-9149. Are you leaving your mask behind when you go to church this weekend? And maybe you've got some special requirements in your diocese. Are you going to wear your mask or not when you go to church this weekend? 888-914-9149. Let us know right now. Or maybe you've ditched the mask already. 888-914-9149. Glenn's in Minnesota. I'm here in the New York metropolitan area. And depending on the state, there are different dates when all the mandates go away, Glenn. So we're talking about 100% capacities. Again, we've already had that in our churches, in my diocese right now. We're still doing the social distancing thing, but it'll be interesting to find out and see who's with or without masks this weekend.
Yes, those changes have been coming fast and furiously. We had a liturgy committee meeting last night as all of this news was breaking and just trying to figure it out and wait for guidance from the Archdiocese and all of that. But, you know, with people hearing the news, there'll probably be far fewer masks as things kind of transition to regular life, perhaps.
Yeah.
We've had very good, good rule followers. Probably 98-99% of folks wore masks at church and in the local supermarket for that matter here. So,
Same thing here. It was, I can't recall seeing anybody in church without a mask until last week. It was interesting because I was mentioning I got to church early and I didn't know there was a wedding going on because there was no signs of it outside. And I walked in the side door and, very quietly, it's like, oh, and it was just wrapping up. And there may have been. And my microphone just died. That's prophetic. There may have been 150 people at the wedding. And maybe about three or four were wearing masks. And it was kind of jarring then, although we're slowly getting back to a new or a better normal, as we like to say here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Still to come in this hour, we're going to take your prayer intentions just ahead of going into the Adoration Chapel. We look ahead to Sunday's readings with Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, and that's coming up next here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I say all the time that I need to be converted daily, and so do our kids. It's never too late to crack open that Bible and start reading it. You know, a great start would be, the daily reading.
The Relevant Radio app.
The exclusive home of In Conversation with God, reflections on the daily readings with insight from the saints. It's updated daily, so don't miss today's conversation.
Fan the flames of the enthusiasm for them.
The continuously updated Relevant Radio app. It's in your app store.
Have you ever wondered why Jesus chose 12 apostles and not 10 or 7 or some other number? Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, and maybe you already know the answer to this. There were 12 tribes of Israel, the chosen people, and the reason for 12 is that the great Jewish patriarch, Jacob, also known by the name Israel, had 12 sons. That was the old covenant. And so when Jesus came to bring a new covenant, he chose 12 men to be the pillars of his church. In ancient times, the number 12 represented maturity, or the perfection of government. So when Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus and did not repent, but despaired of ever being forgiven, and then died, the apostles decided they had to replace him so that the number 12 would be complete. According to the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the saint whom we celebrate today was chosen to take Judas Iscariot's place. His name was Matthias, and he was one of the many followers of Jesus who also saw Jesus after his resurrection, and so could give witness to that fact. Pope Benedict once drew an important lesson from all this for us. He said that this choice of Matthias compensated for the betrayal of Judas, and that every Christian is called in his or her own life to balance the evil in the world with good. Here's how the Holy Father actually put it. We draw from this a final lesson. While there is no lack of unworthy and traitorous Christians in the church, it is up to each of us to counterbalance the evil done by them with our clear witness to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Listen to more of Father James Kubicki's daily reflections by downloading the free Relevant Radio app. Here's another way to support Relevant Radio financially. Have a traditional IRA or Roth IRA? Qualifying charitable distributions from traditional IRA or Roth IRA accounts can be excluded from gross income. This is great news if you need to take a required minimum distribution but don't want to add to your taxable income for the year. If you own an IRA and are 70 and a half or older, you can make a tax-free transfer to Relevant Radio.
Go to relevantradio.com and click on the support tab.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio. It's time for a look at Sunday's Gospel for the Solemnity of the Ascension this week. With another look, it's Bishop Daniel Muggenberg from the Archdiocese of Seattle. Bishop Muggenberg, always great to have you along.
Great to be here, Glenn.
Well, this is an incredible passage out of Mark this week, chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. Before he goes, the final instructions from our Lord.
Yes, it is. And Jesus gives, you know, what we call the Great Commission to the disciples to proclaim the gospel to everyone that they may be baptized and saved. And oftentimes we hear that Great Commission, and because we're so familiar with it, we really don't think about the urgency, the importance, and the responsibility of that mission. So I think this is a great time to take a look at that and hopefully renew our own missionary zeal in the church today. A
lot of meat in there. We're to proclaim the gospel to every creature.
Yes, and we're not doing it simply to satisfy their curiosity or to simply give them a program of self-help. We're doing it because if they accept it and are baptized, they will be saved. Now, that's an incredible reason to do it. Namely, the other people's salvation depends on us. And it's our responsibility to bring the gospel to them, to not omit or to limit our proclamation of that gospel to any particular peoples, but rather to bring the gospel and proclaim it in a credible way so that other people can believe and can be saved. And the credible proclamation of the gospel involves not only the message, namely proclaiming Jesus to others, but also the messenger, that we ourselves have to be authentic, sincere people of faith so that we are embodying the message that we are proclaiming, that we are true witnesses of Jesus. And people are as inspired by our lives as they are by the message itself. So all of that goes into being a credible and effective proclaimer of the gospel. And again, other people's salvation depends on it, and Jesus will hold us accountable for how we have or how we have not effectively proclaimed the gospel for others.
Now, Bishop Muggenberg, in priestly formation, I'm sure there's a lot of conversation about that, about taking this responsibility very seriously to transmit the gospel to everyone. But that ultimate responsibility, it falls on all of us.
Yes, it does. By virtue of our baptism, we are all people who share in the mission of Jesus. It is not just for people in religious life or just for those who are ordained. It is for every Christian to bring the gospel, to be a witness of Christ in their workplace, in their neighborhood, and to be able to lead others to Jesus. And there are lots of opportune moments to do that. If we're attentive to those moments, and if we have the courage to be able to speak a message of faith in those moments, then other people can not only be receptive, but they can be effectively invited to experience Christ in their lives, say yes to that experience, and to become a disciple in their faith and in their baptism.
The disciples were given superpowers, almost, as it were, to go out and do their work.
Yeah, we could call these some of the first, what are they, superheroes of our culture. But the accompanying signs that Jesus promises to the disciples need a little bit of interpretation. Because sometimes we do look at them exactly as you say, as being, you know, extraordinary and literal signs. And that, of course, is what gives rise to snake handlers and all sorts of other distortions of the message. But when Jesus gives these signs, we need to remember that many of these he himself exemplified in his own life and ministry. And we also see many of these signs actually being manifested in the life of the early church in the Acts of the Apostles. So those experiences help us to interpret what he means by these signs. For instance, you know, to drive out demons. While our Lord did in his life, you know, practice exorcisms, in a real sense, Jesus confronted situations of evil, whether they were situations of evil by demonic possession or situations of evil by institutional structuralism, institutional prejudice, institutional ostracization of others. Jesus confronted that. He recognized it as being evil, and the kingdom of God overcomes every structure of evil, every presence of evil, in whatever form it takes. And so the church continues that important mission of always confronting and overcoming every sinful situation, every manifestation of evil, regardless of how we encounter it. Speaking new languages, the apostles had to go to areas of the world where they didn't know the language. And so they had to pick up those languages in order to literally communicate Jesus to others. In our world, you know, while we can do that as well, we also have new languages in terms of how we communicate effectively to new cultures. We might even think about our American culture today has so many social media languages, languages that can effectively speak to a secularized culture, even a post-Christian culture. The church has to learn those languages if we are going to effectively proclaim the gospel. And so I think that's a perennial challenge for all of us, whether or not we ever leave an English-speaking world.
I just love that broad definition of what might constitute a new language, and that's kind of almost a description of whatever it takes to reach a people group.
That's very true, whatever it takes. You know, and for some, there's lots of ways that we have to learn that language. We can't just be frustrated because we are saying the same thing in the same way and people aren't hearing it. We need to be creative and find a way that people can hear the gospel and that we can answer the questions they are asking rather than simply answering questions they're not asking.
We live in very interesting times in a good way in terms of the different ways that even English language interpretation of the gospel can be spread. It's a time just in this last generation, there have been so many more ways to make the gospel available, and it's in everybody's pocket if they push the right buttons on that phone. We've never had that in time before, and that's a new language.
Yes, it is. all of those means of proclaiming the gospel are indeed new languages. And I'm very much encouraged and excited about how we're seeing some of these new languages even being spoken during the time of COVID. You know, we've learned to be creative. We've learned to be able to reach people and speak to people in this environment. And we need to retain and build on those experiences in the future. And we also do so with a real confidence that, you know, Jesus continues to work through us when we are faithful to our mission. And we need to remember that it's contingent upon our fidelity to mission. As the disciples went out and they began to proclaim the gospel, we are told that the Lord worked through them with confirming and accompanying signs. So when we are faithful to the gospel and when we, you know, overcome our fear to face those new situations or those hostile situations and to go into those foreign cultures, the Lord will accompany us. And we need to remember that it's ultimately his work, not our work. But we have to cooperate and be faithful in carrying out that mission so that he can accomplish his work.
gospel writer Mark had good editors. His stuff is very concise. We go, so then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. And that's the description we have of that. And then, but they went forth and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word. And just very matter of fact of some amazing things. Can we even begin to imagine what that must have been like?
No. And as you, you know, summarize that very simple observation of the ascension taking place. And yet there's so much in that passage. To be seated at God's right hand is to be enthroned in power, being given authority over all kingdoms of heaven and earth. And Jesus, you know, ascended not to abandon us. He ascended so that he can now carry out his authority through the church. And he can manifest his mercy and his reconciliation and his healing and his saving love through our ministry.
Always appreciate your insight, Bishop Daniel Muggenberg from the Archdiocese of Seattle. If you'd be so kind as to wrap us up with your blessing this week.
The Lord be with you. And may the blessing of Almighty God, who sends us to be his missionary disciples into the world, always inspire and encourage us to never fail in that mission of making Jesus known and of leading others to the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Bishop Daniel Muggenberg from the Archdiocese of Seattle, coming up to 20 minutes before the hour on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Glenn's got a fresh story corner coming up, and we're also taking your prayer intentions just ahead of going into the Adoration Chapel. Our number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149 for your prayer intentions. And we're also talking about the fact that it's probably the first thing you'll talk about today if you're physically going into work or still working remotely or doing a Zoom conference is wearing masks, because the CDC is saying now that fully vaccinated people no longer need to wear masks while indoors. That announcement coming yesterday from Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who's the director of the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. John's listening in Philadelphia this morning on Relevant Radio 640. Hi, John. How are you? You wearing your mask still?
Hey, good morning, John. Thanks very much. Building on what our bishop has said, you know, we should be all things to all people, you know, like the language of love. Okay, mm-hmm. So with regards to the masks, I think among people who are still fearful, you know, they're not really comfortable, maybe advanced in age, or maybe they haven't received the inoculation. But at any rate, you know, to wear the mask where appropriate, okay, and, you know, where it's appropriate not to wear a mask, not to wear a mask. But I'm planning on wearing mine to mass, because you still have a lot of people who are coming in from the outside who haven't been attending mass, and they may not be quite comfortable. So why not make them comfortable?
Yeah, but again, you know, it goes to the common good thing. Yeah. You know, and I'm with you. You know, we've gotten so used to wearing masks now in the last year. It's going to seem unusual not to wear the mask. But, you know, I'm one of those. And the doctor says, maybe you should still wear it. You know, you're a cancer survivor. You got one kidney. Maybe you should still wear it. It's like, OK, fine. You know, because, you know, it's for my good and the good of others around there. And if it makes somebody else more comfortable. But that's a good point about wearing that, especially at church, if it makes others more comfortable, more welcoming to you. Hey, John, thanks for adding to the conversation this morning. Stay well. OK,
thank you, John, for all you do.
Take care. 888-914-9149. Speaking of church, we'll be in adoration in about 3 hours from right now. How may we pray for you? 888-914-9149. Our number is 888-914-9149. We are taking your prayer intentions right now. We'll be praying for you before the Blessed Sacrament in just a few hours. 888-914-9149 for your prayer intentions next on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Please pray for this. Pray that life is upheld from the moment of life through natural death, from the moment of conception through natural death.
Did you know that a baby can smile as early as 12 weeks from conception? Hi, this is Patrick Madrid. Please join Relevant Radio in our hourly Memorare campaign for an end to abortion and the protection of all human life from conception to natural death. Our next goal is 400 million Memorares. Add your Memorare for life at relevantradio.com. Let's pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother.
To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Underwriting by Christendom College.
Are you worried that we're losing our Catholic heritage these days? You can rediscover the roots of our faith thanks to a new free online class from principals at Christendom College. Join my friend, Christendom College President, Dr. Timothy O'Donnell, for his class on Christ, the Center of History. Together, you'll explore history from a Catholic perspective to help you know, live, and share your faith. You can get free access to the Catholic History class by going to principalsclasses.com. Sign up today at principalsclasses.com.
Relevant Radio is supported by Sweetamine, an all-natural anti-inflammatory supplement invented by biochemist Dr. Joel Brind. Designed to reduce inflammation and pain, Sweetamine.com has the science on conditions rooted in inflammation and how diet can make a difference. Delivered direct. More information about Sweetamine can be found at Sweetamine.com. That's Sweet, A-M-I-N-E.com, or at 845-231-4840.
About 2,000 years ago, after his resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days among his followers and his friends, and at the end of those 40 days, we read in Scripture how he ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives while his apostles watched. So what does this event mean for us? Hi, this is Josh Raymond, and tomorrow on The Inner Life, we'll spend the hour looking at Jesus' ascension and its impact on our faith, tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
15 before the hour, morning air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Glenn's got a fresh story corner coming up in the next 10 minutes. But right now, how may we pray for you? We'll be in the Adoration Chapel in just a few hours. I want to take your prayer intentions before the Blessed Sacrament. Our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Marcia, we're going to be praying for your son who is suffering from PTSD. We've been talking a lot about St. Dimphna this week, and we'll pray the very powerful St. Dimphna prayer, and perhaps you've been praying that as well. Claudia, we're going to pray for your grandsons to come back to the faith. You know, that's our number one prayer request here at Relevant Radio. And Kathy, we're going to pray for your husband who is battling alcoholism. And also, you can Google Kathy, the Calix Society, C-A-L-I-X, the Calix Society. They're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and it's this wonderful Catholic organization that deals with those who are afflicted with alcohol and drug addiction. That's the Calix Society. Bill is in Oregon this morning at 888-914-9149. Bill, how may we pray for you?
Thank you. I still love prayers for my marriage, and also sure. My daughter contacted me this week about a little girl, Pippa, who's just only 3 years old and has to go through a lot of cancer treatment.
Okay. We'll pray for both of those today in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Bill, thank you so much. Flora is in Fort Myers, Florida. Florida, good morning. How may we pray for you?
Yes, I'd like to pray for my daughter to come back to the church. And also, she has no vision in her left eye. And I'm praying for a miracle. The doctors have said there's nothing they can do. I'm praying for her eye to be healed or restored so that she would have her vision back in that eye.
We'll pray to St. Lucy for her powerful intercession with the eye problem and that your daughter come back to church. What's her first name, Flora?
Michelle.
We'll be praying for Michelle today. Thank you so much. Tiffany is in California. Tiffany, good morning. How may we pray for you?
I want you guys to pray for Cynthia. She's currently in like an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to give her strength and, you know, so she could get through the next couple days.
Sure, absolutely. And you're staying in touch with her, right?
Yeah.
Good. Let us know how things turn out. I'll be praying for Cynthia today and for you as a caregiver for her today in the Adoration Chapel. Thanks, Tiffany. Thanks for listening in California. Our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149 for your prayer intentions this morning. Hi, Charlie. Welcome to Morning Air. How may we pray for you?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm waiting for the results from blood tests that I took, and I'm very anxious about that, and the inability to let go and truly trust God instead of me trying to carry the entire burden.
Right. You know what, Charlie, you got to hang on if you can, because in about 15 minutes, we're going to have Gary Zimek on. And Gary is the author of Give Up Worry for Good. And we're going to talk about putting worry right in God's hands. So there will be a lot of solutions for you that can perhaps help you with that, Charlie. And I'll be praying for good health and good results from that blood test. So listen for Gary's coming up in about 15 minutes. Charlie, thank you so much. God bless. 888-914-9149. Maria's in Miami, Florida. Good morning, Maria. How may we pray for you?
Hi, good morning. I'm asking help and prayers for me to make the right decision. I just was recently diagnosed with brain tumor, and I don't know whether to do for surgery now or to do it later. So,
when I got my cancer diagnosis a couple of years ago, what I did was just ask for the Holy Spirit to guide me. And we've been talking an awful lot about the Holy Spirit, of course, getting closer to Pentecost and during this confirmation season. And the Holy Spirit just kind of mapped out a route for me and to explore every type of potential cure. Talked to doctors who specialized in radiation, talked to doctors who specialized in hormonal therapy, talked to surgeons. Talked to everybody, and then also took that to prayer. And over a course of perhaps maybe 2 or 3 weeks in meeting with all of these doctors, I chose one course that turned out to be the right course. So take this to the Holy Spirit as well, and we'll take it before the Blessed Sacrament for you today, Maria. And stay in touch. Let us know how things are going for you, because we'll be praying for you, and the army of Relevant Radio listeners will be storming heaven with prayer as well. 888-914-9149 at 11 before the hour here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Taking your prayer requests today before going into the Adoration Chapel. Coco, good morning. How may we pray for you in Richmond, Virginia?
Yes, good morning. I'd like you to pray for my beloved brother, Charlie, who has a rare sarcoma. He's been battling for several months. They moved him to hospice. Day before yesterday, we continue to pray for complete healing, but I just want to pray for him, for peace, and for his family, and God's will be done.
What a beautiful prayer intention, Coco. Thank you so much. We'll take that before the Blessed Sacrament today. Appreciate it. 888-914-9149. Jennifer, we'll be praying for your family friend, Tony, for a complete recovery. Carol, for your son and daughter, that they do well as first-time mom and dad. And we're hopeful that's going to be a healthy and a wonderful birth as well. Congratulations on that. And Susan, we'll be praying for your daughter as well. Mary's joining us this morning. Mary, how may we pray for you?
Hi, Mary.
Yeah, that's you, Mary. Hi, welcome. Good morning.
Yes, thank you. Good morning to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like prayer for my 5 children to be able to communicate clearly, and they're adults, by the way, to walk in peace with each other and to heal. And I also would like prayer for myself to hear clearly from the Holy Spirit and to walk in obedience.
Okay, those are beautiful prayer intentions. Do your 5 children practice their faith?
They don't practice their Catholic faith. They're in different denominations right now, but my one son is not practicing anything.
Right.
We'll pray that they can communicate
with each other, and that the Holy Spirit communicates with them to bring them home as well, Mary. And again, I don't know if you heard our interview with Bishop Bill Walk, but he was talking about when he was confirmed over 30 years ago, the bishop said this one prayer that he has prayed every single day of his life, and now as the bishop of the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, he prays, Holy Spirit, teach me what to do today and the strength to do it. Holy Spirit, teach me what to do today and the strength to do that. So perhaps that's a prayer for you and a prayer that you can pray for your kids as well. Mary, thanks. God bless you. Maria is in New Jersey this morning. Maria, how may we pray for you?
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Hi, Maria. How can we pray for you today?
I would please like prayer for myself and my 2 sons. We're just going through a lot of transitions now. And I just really, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and I thank God that my 2 sons, they're older, they're, you know, older now,
mm-hmm. that they are getting along so nicely now because there had been a big rift there.
Yeah.
And so I just pray for continued prayer that the Lord will continue to work on that relationship and help them with that.
That's a beautiful prayer intention, and we'll pray for that peace that comes to your family and with your sons. Thank you, Maria. Keep us updated, okay? Allison, League City, Texas, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. How may we pray for you?
Good morning. How are you today? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask for prayers and thanksgiving, first off, for my daughter going into an interview yesterday and getting the job on the spot.
Wow.
And I also want to, yes, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I also want to ask for prayers for night before last in the subdivision next door to ours. There was a horrible murder-suicide of two parents who are principals here in our area. So not only did their children suffer a loss, but two districts of an elementary school and a middle school are suffering losses of these two principals. And I just want, I want the Blessed Mother to please cover all those babies with her holy hand.
That is a beautiful prayer intentions. I remember seeing that story because it made national news and that was in your subdivision. So a prayer for peace, you know, in the hearts of not only those that are in that subdivision, but also the healing that needs to take place. And also, again, as you say, the powerful intercession of our Blessed Mother to help those children who knew those very powerful educators. Thank you, Allison, and God bless you. And congratulations to your daughter on that interview. What's she going to be doing? What's the job?
She's going to be a hostess of the mostess at Cracker Barrel.
All right, that's good. That's good.
You're making
us hungry talking about Cracker Barrel food at this hour of the morning. Okay, Allison, thanks, and God bless. Have a great day. Barb is in Wisconsin. Good morning, Barb. How may we pray for you?
Good morning, and thank you for all you and Glenn do. I would really appreciate prayers for my daughter. We are awaiting biopsy results.
Okay. I'll be praying for her. What's her first name, Barb?
Mallory.
Okay. We'll be praying for Mallory. Let us know. Drop me an email, john@relevantradio.com. When you get the results, we'll continue to pray. Carolina, good morning. How may we pray for you?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. If you can, guys, pray for my daughter, Fatima. She is 4 years old, and this morning I just find out that she has like a lump in her tummy. There is a very strong cancer in the family, so I am so worried. So if you can just pray for Fatima.
And you're going to get her to a doctor right away to check that out and perhaps even do a biopsy. That's good.
Yes.
Okay, we'll be praying for Fatima. Call us back. Let us know. Drop me some email. We'll be praying for Fatima, praying for you and the entire family today, okay? Thank you, Carolina. Tricia, good morning. How may we pray for you?
Good morning. Thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to your next segment. I'm not worrying. I'm praying for my daughter-in-law. I'd like prayers for my daughter-in-law, Victoria. We're going to visit her, my son, and they're 1 month old, but Victoria was diagnosed during her pregnancy with metastatic bone cancer.
Oh, my.
So we are praying for her healing. It didn't go anywhere else. Luckily, it didn't go into lymph nodes or the brain or anything. So we're very grateful for prayers in that way being answered. And now we'd like, of course, healing for her and for our son, Bill, just all that he has to deal with, a new baby and his wife and chemo and et cetera. And we pray for their spiritual lives too.
Absolutely. I'll take all of that before the Blessed Sacrament today in the Adoration Chapel, Tricia. And again, let us know how Bill and Victoria are doing, okay? And what's their son's name?
Daughter Lydia.
Oh, daughter Lydia. That's great. What a beautiful name. Okay.
Yes.
I'll be praying for the entire family today. You bet. Keep us posted. Yeah, there you go. I love that, Tricia. Yeah. Thanks so much. Yeah. If you weren't able to get through, you can just go to relevantradio.com/pray. Relevantradio.com/pray. You can leave your prayer request there. You can also leave your prayer request on our continuously updated Relevant Radio app and know that we'll pray for you in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass that you hear on the radio at 12 noon Central. Drew will take those prayer intentions during the Divine Mercy Chaplet and, of course, tonight with the Family Rosary Across America and Father Rocky at 7 p.m. Central. Next hour. power, putting worry in God's hands. That's coming up on Morning Air, but right now at 2 before, it's time for today's Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Will You Be Ready? It's by Steve Goodyear. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I will prepare, and someday my chance will come." When his chance came, he was ready. During his seminary years, one priest in training sported a t-shirt that never failed to bring chuckles. Across the front was emblazoned, "Expectant Father." His chance came, and he too was ready. When your chance comes, will you be ready? Hockey superstar Wayne Gretzky was always ready. He broke almost every record imaginable. He's known as the greatest hockey player of all time. Gretzky, not particularly big for his sport, standing 5'11", weighing in at 170 pounds. He never skated particularly fast. His shot was not high-powered, and often he placed dead last on regular strength tests administered to his team. So what made the great one so great? He was ready. Gretzky attributes his stardom to practice and preparation. He practiced stick handling in the offseason with a tennis ball, as the ball was harder to control than a puck. In practice, he innovated. He practiced bouncing the puck off the sideboards to his teammates until that technique became a regular part of his play. Then he worked on bouncing the puck off the net. He became so accomplished at these maneuvers, he sometimes said, "People say there are only 6 men on the ice, but really, if you use the angle of deflection of the boards, there's 7. If you count the net, that's 8. In the opening faceoff, I always figure we have them, 8-on-6. What made the great one so great? Gretzky, always the best prepared member of his team. He was ready. It's been said, if you want your ship to come in, you must build a dock. When your chance comes, will you be ready? And good luck to those NHL teams starting the playoffs this weekend. From Luke 12:35, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning.
And we're ready now at a minute before the hour here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.